Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Beatles, music, wine, and then lube up and get on top.
The glory hole's like a dick theater. I've imagined your friends.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
This is Mrs. Atom.
And this is stuffing my face with pretzels, Atom.
Wow, okay.
What? The pretzels are good.
I know. They're kind of big pretzels, too.
They're big pretzels. They're like big pretzels, but they're not pretzel logs, which I miss from the States. I used to love sucking on a pretzel log. Oh, my God, that sounds really...
Oh, okay.
So many answers. Yeah. So many answers. From a young age, I would suck on pretzel logs. Anyway... Not important.
Well, welcome back.
excuse me. we're going to continue on from where we were last week, right?
Yeah. We kind of got cut off abruptly on the whole pegging
thing.
Look,
we only have so much time on these podcasts.
Yeah.
We could go on forever and ever and ever. But, you know, people have other podcasts to listen to, and we want to make sure that...
That's true.
We want to make sure that you folks get to all the great podcasts that are out there. So this is now officially probably the week before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So Merry Christmas to everybody who celebrates Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Hanukkah Kwanzaa.
Yeah, just don't be a Scrooge.
No, don't be a dick.
Be happy no matter what.
I concur. So that what that means is my birthday is right around the corner. I mean, forget all the holidays. Let's talk about important shit. My birthday.
More importantly,
let's talk about me. On the 28th of December, we're going to be hosting a party at our secret spot.
Yeah.
A 40th birthday party for yours truly.
I can't even say it. I don't know.
Damn
splish,
it, woman.
Splash, splash.
There you go. look, it's a beautiful alliteration. It's like... art coming out of your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Which reminds me of that time that art came in your mouth. Thank you. I'm here. So that's going to be a lot of fun with a lot of cakes. So if you happen to be in the Sydney, New South Wales, Australia, Southern Hemisphere, Earth area, please come to my party because, look, it's a Thursday. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, come to our secret spot and have some sexy fun. And even if you don't want to do any splashing, A, you can watch, and B, that's only going to be a small part of the club, so the club will still be open as normal.
That's right.
For the rest of the place.
It's going to be a normal club that night. It's just that we're sequestering off one of the rooms for we're going to line it in plastic and...
Splash zone.
Yeah, it's going to be a splash zone. So it's going to be epic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely come down and say hey and happy birthday to me. Then in February, March of next year, dates still TBD, the next pendulum, mm-hmm. Pendulum 5 or Pendulum V.
Yeah.
Not standing for vagina, although I'm sure there'll be a lot of vagina there.
Well, let's hope so.
Pendulum V. And then next October, November, we've talked about it before. You'll hear about it again. I'll forget about it in the meantime because I hate talking about it because I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait. But it's our big sexy holiday of Passion in Paradise, and then 2 weeks at Desire in Mexico. So yeah. Badass, right?
Absolutely.
So last we left off, we had discussed a lot of things.
With pegging?
Okay. Sorry. Yes, I apologize. That's what we're talking about again this week.
Topic of choice.
Pegging. Yes. Like, we had already done the 101 way back in the beginning of our podcast. This one was the 101 part deux, or maybe 201.
Ooh, and now, I like 201.
I know, because it's like the sophomore class.
Yeah.
And then, so this might be 202. So if you're you're looking for a major in pegging, this is your career path, your university path.
I didn't know that was an option.
Yes. So,
can I go back to university and change my major?
Well, at this point, you would be a professor. So you're, with your experience in pegging, you're likely up for tenure. I'm just saying.
I'm okay with that.
You are the peg master. Master pegger.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes. So last we left off, I vaguely remember us talking about, I don't know, something.
I think we last left off when we were talking about starting slow, massaging the area.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe doing some oral play, light fingering.
Did we talk baths?
No, we talked about the sphincter muscles and small dildos, but we did not talk baths.
Look, for first-timers, if you're a first-timer, I highly, 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 highly recommend taking a bath together. A nice warm bath, you're going to loosen up the muscles, you're going to relax, because look, if it's your first time, you're probably going to be a little nervous. Mm-hmm. And so when you're nervous, you're tense. And when you're tense, well,
things don't go in as easily.
They don't go in as easily. So I would advise taking a nice, long bubble bath, relaxing, either with or without your partner. But yeah, just to get that area sort of chillaxed.
Warmed up.
Yeah, get those muscles nice and loose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do.
And again, that's where, you know, the massage and the kind of light fingering and even some oral play can help as well. Just to, you know, get used to that area, get the blood flow going.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm all aroused. we're 5 minutes into this podcast. I'm ready.
All right.
Okay, sorry.
Are we going to actually act this out as we discuss it?
I can hear the people at home going, do it. Maybe next time, ladies and gents.
But yeah, so we talked about...
Did you hear that? It was a collective, aww.
But yeah, where we left off, we were talking about starting with a small dildo and working your way up.
Yep.
I think it is very important to note, use a lot of lube.
Oh, yeah.
If you think you have enough lube,
use more lube.
Yeah. You cannot use enough lube with this. Like, it just, You want to lube up both the anal area and also the dildo itself. And use just lube all over a lot of it. Don't be afraid.
Completely agree.
You can have a towel sitting there to wipe your hand on. It's fine.
Yes.
But use a lot of lube.
And you took the word right out of my mouth. Definitely have a towel close by. Look, no matter how much... the seven P's. Prior proper preparation prevents piss poor performance.
Yeah.
Be ready. But... realistically, no matter how ready you are on the inside, there's always a risk of contamination.
Yeah.
So having a nice beach towel, we've got three or four beach towels that are specifically sex towels.
Yeah, there are old beach towels that we don't want to take to the beach anymore. They're a little ratty, but they're great for things like this.
Yeah, and so you lay those out.
Unless you're doing it with a nice new partner that you really want to impress, then you want to have a nice towel, but whatever.
I love it, or just turn the lights off.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a towel ready and handy, because look, you know, the lube is, there's a high likelihood that lube's going to leak out, but you should definitely use lots and lots of lube. So the question might be, gee, guys, what kind of lube do I use? Oh my God. Let me start with what's not lube. Not lube is spit. Spit is not lube.
No, it's not.
Hand lotion, not lube. Soap, not lube. Shampoo, not lube. Conditioner, not lube.
Vaseline, not lube.
Vaseline, not lube. Vicks Vapor Rub, not lube.
No, no.
Baby oil, not fucking lube. You know, and I'm going to go ahead and say for me, although I know some people use it, vegetable oil, canola oil, olive oil, coconut oil, not lubes.
Yeah.
Though I will say that's personal preference right there. All the previous ones, definitely not lubes. The cooking oils, I just don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't like the feel, to be honest. For me, for anal play, I want a nice thick,
yeah,
like tacky lube, something that I know is going to stick to me.
It's going to stick around. Yeah.
So then the question is, okay, water base, silicone, or blend?
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that depends on what toy you're using as well.
Yes.
If you're using a condom on the toy, which we often do, then water based. And they have the, was it Pure has the Analyze and what's
Backdoor.
Their other one? Backdoor Lube. So they have those ones that we do use quite a lot.
Look, I will caution on that. Analyze,
yeah,
is the one, and then Backdoor is the other big one. They have a relaxant in them. I don't really notice a lot of relaxation.
I was going to say, it's not a strong...
What I like about it is it's extremely tacky. So they stick and they stay. In both situations, they have a water-based and a silicone-based. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to know which one you're looking at. But to take a quick step back from that, you don't want a numbing agent.
No.
Especially if it's your first time. The reason things hurt is because, A, we might be doing them wrong, or B, we might be doing ourselves damage. And you want to make sure very quickly that you know if you're doing damage.
Yeah.
So, because you don't want rips or tears or whatever down there. And I'm not saying that to scare people. I'm just saying that to be cognizant and sort of know your body. Your body's talking to you. And when it feels good, it feels good. And when it feels bad, you need to reassess and make sure that you're doing it right and not hurting yourself. So don't use any kind of relaxant. I will say the Analyze and Backdoor, they have a bit of a muscle relaxer. It's not a numbing agent. It's a muscle relaxer. And that's something a little different because that does help those two sphincter muscles that we talked about last week relax a bit.
And
that
it's not okay super with. Strong that it's just like you're going to completely lose control.
No.
So
it's just sort of helps that relaxation.
Takes the edge off.
And I think that's a really good way to put it. But I think it's, again, it's vital not to use numbing agents. Muscle relaxers are one thing, numbing agents are something altogether different, and those are bad.
You want to feel it.
Yeah. So back to the lube types. Silicone toys often do not play well with silicone lubes. The problem is silicone lubes for me feel best. They're the best.
They stick around the longest.
Silicone lubes do not play well with condoms. Latex condoms. In most cases, you want water-based lubes for latex condoms, silicone toys. But I'm going
to
say...
But if you're using the condom on the toy just to for easy cleanup, then, you know,
there's no risk of disease.
Right.
You're doing it because you're lazy, which I respect, and that's what we do.
So it's okay... I mean, for us, we do... I'm not going to say it's okay because that's personal preference and opinion.
Yeah. For us, it's okay.
But for us, we do sometimes use the silicone lubes on the condom on a toy.
Yeah.
So,
and look, you don't care about your toy, if you're okay buying a new toy every year or so, fucking use the silicone lubes. All it's going to do is it's going to make the toy not as smooth. It's going to make the toy not... I say this, I'm not 100% sure. I think it makes the toy a little more receptive to bacteria. Mm. So that you do need to make sure you clean it properly.
Yeah.
But yeah, we often will use silicone lube, but on a condom toy. If you've got a glass dildo or a metal dildo, then of course you can use whatever lube you want.
Yeah.
because both of those can very easily be sterilized and the silicone doesn't hurt them.
Yeah. And whatever you end up using, just use lots of it.
Yeah.
Can't stress that enough.
Yes. But again, spit's not a lube.
No. And the main thing too, when you are starting to enter him with the dildo, is don't force it. You know, use a lot of lube, go in nice and slow, do not force it. If there's strong resistance, if something's not working, take a moment, step back, and kind of assess the situation and see what's going on.
Talk to each other as well.
Yeah.
Look, is, you know, you can tell as the recipient of a dildo where it needs to go.
Yeah. And if the angle's wrong, if it's not quite positioned exactly right, something, you know, talk to your partner, work it out.
Yeah.
But just don't force it.
You know, and ladies, I'll say especially, you know, many, I'm going to make a gross judgment here and assume that most ladies have been on the receiving end of anal sex, or a partner trying to either pressure them into anal sex, or them wanting to do anal sex with their partner. And you know the importance of take it slow.
Yeah.
And constantly communicate. Is this okay? Are you okay?
You can enter a little slowly and then pause.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a continuous motion.
No.
You can, you know, put it in a little bit. Pause, you know, don't forget about the rest of him. So you can, you know, feel, you can be massaging and feeling, playing with his nipples, you know, playing with his penis. Give him a reach. If you're behind, give him a reach around and you know, just give him a bit of a hand job if you're on top. If he's on top, again, we'll get to positions momentarily. But don't forget about the rest of his body and his senses. There are other parts of him that can be addressed. So, you know, while you're inserting or even after, don't forget that there are other parts of him to play with as well.
Yeah, I would completely agree. You're fucking the ass, the body, and the brain all at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's important to remember.
Yeah.
Again, really no difference than any kind of regular sex play.
No.
The person's not an object. You need to treat them like a person.
Should we get to positions?
Yeah, sorry. I'm just sitting over here with, dealing with a minor issue.
Uh-huh.
Between my legs.
Uh-huh.
I'm all aroused and shit. Let's talk. I guess we've talked about most of the pre stuff. Let's talk about, we're getting into position.
All right.
What positions do you have?
So.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think most people assume that the first and only position is the doggy style.
Mm-hmm.
Where the lady with the strap on is behind the guy, he's on all fours, ass in the air. That's, yeah. See, I say doggy style. Animals go crazy. Like, they're like, woo!
Yes.
We're being mentioned on the podcast.
Yeah, there's a dog barking out there. He's apparently wants to come join in give his opinion.
Doggy style's the best! That's what he's saying down there.
Uh-huh. So I would suggest, if this is the first time, that first of all, talk to your partner about various positions and see what they're most comfortable with. Let him be in control at first so that he can control the speed of entry.
I agree.
Because once you kind of learn and do this a few times and kind of work out what's good, what's comfortable, then, you know, maybe try starting out in different positions. But the first time you do it, do whatever position he's comfortable with in controlling the situation. There is the doggy style. That's a good one, but it's not one I would start with.
No, definitely not.
Sleeping child is a good one. The yoga pose where you've got, you know, your shoulders and your head down and your ass kind of up in the air a little bit.
Yeah, the chest and the stomach are as close to the ground or the bed as they can be. Your knees are tucked under you and typically out a bit. Again, if you look up sleeping child pose in yoga, that's the yoga position. What's great about that is, you know, it's kind of funny because squatty potties have come into play in media all over recently. The reason that works so well is because it lines everything up so that there's no kinks in the colon or in the anal rectum. So you know, what that means is, you know, when you bring your knees up, you're straightening out the rectum. So it makes things coming out a lot easier. It also makes things going in a lot easier.
Yeah.
And it's a great position to be in. It's one of my absolute favorites. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And another one that we commonly start with and that you start with sometimes even when doing anal play with a male partner is to have, so if it were me pegging you, I would be laying on my back and you're squatting over me, yeah, facing me.
It's a role reversed cowgirl.
It is, yeah. And that's a good one because then, again, you can very easily control the speed of entry, the angle, all of that.
Yeah. And it's nice because the speed of entry is, I think, the most important part of that. You can go in a little, relax, go in a little, and relax. Yeah. And then once you're in fully, you just let it just sit there for a minute. Yeah. There's no shame in just sort of, like, let's chill out for a second. Once again, talking with my hands, smacking my phones around. 2 weeks in a row, folks. I get all excited. I can't help it.
I'll take your phone away from you.
No, I need it. That's where all my notes are. But, you know, once you have it in, the peg in, the dildo in, get used to it. Let it relax a bit.
Yeah.
And sort of get used to it. And I promise you that once you've sort of acclimated to that, and it doesn't take long. For me, it's 15 to 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. But it might take you up to 3 or 4 minutes. But again, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's especially with a dildo. There's no risk of losing the erection if you're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And you can be in that position and your partner can be doing something else to you. Nipple play or kissing, or you're playing, especially if I'm sitting
or
on
hand job.
If I'm on you,
yeah,
I'm playing with your breasts,
yeah,
or you're playing with my cock. You know, there's a lot of play. I can reach around and reach underneath me and play with your pussy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we can do,
yeah,
sort of to maybe take my mind off of what's going on.
And you're not just sitting there like, hey, so how's the weather out there?
Do you like stuff? Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of sexy things that can be happening during that time.
Yeah.
And again, that's, you know, that slow entry and the getting used to it and taking that moment to just kind of pause, that can happen both with, you know, the first dildo that you try, the small one, and then if you do switch out other dildos, again, if you are building up in size, take that moment. And just,
yeah,
it's going to be the same thing no matter when it is or which one it is.
And that's a good point, because each time you change the dildo size, that bigger size,
yeah,
is going to feel a bit aggressive each time or different, you know, and you've got to get used to that. So yeah, that's those two, I think, the sleeping child position and the man on top, the role reversed cowgirl, I think are the best starting positions. Once you're comfortable with the dildo, once you're comfortable with being pegged, I think doggy style is still one of my favorites.
I love
just
it.
Because of the,
yeah,
doggy style is my favorite sex position,
yeah,
for me and you. And I think there's something nice about being on the receiving end as well. Feeling your hips, or feeling the front of your hips, your pelvic area,
uh-huh,
smack up against my ass is such an interesting feeling.
Yeah.
And I know that's the closest that we'll get. And
yeah,
I know when I play with male partners, it's still my favorite position because, you know, feeling their balls smack against my balls is a,
mm-hmm,
really bizarre but amazing feeling.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it.
And I like it, again, because of the visual of just seeing the line, you know, down the back and through the hips, down the way, you know, through the waist and then down the hips, and being able to hold on to your hips and feel that movement. Yeah,
yeah.
There's something just really hot about that.
You know, another really great position is me on my back.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of things you can do with your legs, but whatever's really comfortable, typically, you know, and it might be helpful to either put, one of like a wedge or something under your back to lift your butt up off the,
yeah,
bed, or a couple of pillows or whatever,
mm-hmm,
to lift you up a bit. But that's another great position because then that gives you the freedom to play with my legs, you know, play with my cock,
yeah,
that, which is a really amazing feeling.
So how does it feel when you have a dildo in you and I'm playing with your cock? How is it different than normal cock play?
Well, I mean, apart from the fact that there's something in my ass.
But does it,
I mean,
but with the pressure on the prostate, how does that Does that change how it, I'm guessing it changes how it feels, but how?
It does. But for me, there's that wonderful, and again, I can only compare it to something I don't even know, which is like, how does it feel when I massage your clit, but I'm inside of you, mm-hmm. or you've got a dildo inside of you. For me, it's that there's a full feeling, you know, okay. there's something, you know, you feel full. And then with the cock play, that just makes you feel even fuller. Mm-hmm. If the prostate's being massaged at the same time, the feeling that of explosion, of about to tip over the edge, is almost mm-hmm. constant.
Interesting. That sounds cool.
It's a wonderful feeling. I really enjoy it. It's hard to express. But it's kind of awesome. Another really great position is with you sitting down and then me sitting on your lap. Put yourself in a chair.
Yeah.
And we've done that a bit on the bed, where you're sitting on the bed and then I just back into you.
Mm-hmm.
That's another great, because again, I have control over speed, depth, and just how in the power of the thrust. You don't get as much control over it. It's an awesome feeling.
Yeah, and all through this, you know, whenever we are doing pegging, again, like I said before, you don't forget that there's other parts of him that need stimulating as well. And so if he likes nipple play, if you want to give him a hand job, if he likes nails, especially if you're doing like the doggy or anything back, like nails down the back, ears, just any kind of the normal things that you would do during sex, don't forget those when you're doing anal play.
Yeah.
Because it is no different than normal sex, as far as you want to stimulate other parts of the body as well. Dirty talk. I love dirty talk. We do a lot more of that when we're doing pegging.
Yeah.
And it kind of adds the scenario and the situation a bit.
The mystique.
Yeah, it makes it a little more exciting for me to do a lot more of that.
Yeah, you tend to get pretty mouthy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So I think of like two more sort of positions that I can think of that we've done. One that we will probably do the second we wrap up this podcast, because now I'm all aroused. And although I wasn't really thinking about prostate play tonight, uh-huh. now I'm can think of
you
nothing.
You can't stop thinking about it, yeah.
Right now. Yeah. And the first is where I'm laying flat on my belly mm-hmm. on the bed, mm. and then you squat above me.
Yeah.
That's not good for long, deep thrusts, but for short, shallow, smaller dildos, it's great. I think that's a fun one as well, because again, that gives you all the control.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly would be just doing it, you know, bent over a counter, bent over the table, bent over the couch, wherever.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
You know, is not the bedroom. It's kind of nice to get out there and just play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, mix it up a little bit. Remember, sex doesn't always have to happen in the bedroom. There's like a million other places it can happen.
All right, so any other positions you want to mention, are the big ones?
Those are the big ones. Those are the ones that I like, you know, and of course there's always variations on a theme.
Yeah.
You know, I can turn around and do a reverse cowgirl mm-hmm. or whatnot.
And once you're comfortable with pegging with your partner, you can, any normal sex position that you do with, you know, reversed, you just can do the same thing. You know, yeah. anything that you would do, you know, when he's inside of you, do it inside of him. So it, but it's just get comfortable with that first and then use your imagination and have fun with it.
I will say there's something for being on your back is a very vulnerable position, visually vulnerable, because you're literally, you're for a guy at least. I think for women it might be not as, it's still vulnerable, but I think most women are kind of used to laying on their backs, maybe having their legs in the air. Guys aren't used to that vulnerability. So I think that can be a bit confronting, but I still would encourage guys to do it because
yeah, it's, get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's because it's a lot of fun and it feels really, really yeah. amazing. So yeah, that's the only, oh, and the last thing I will say, before we get to myths about pegging, look, for us when we peg, it's very rarely about penetration of you. It's always penetration yeah. of me. And then you always will either manually play with me or will have somebody else play with me in some way to where when I come, that's your goal, our goal.
Yeah.
Is not about me penetrating you mm-hmm. to orgasm. It's you penetrating me and enjoying that and then whatnot. So for the ladies, I would encourage toy use, some strap-ons and strap-on equipment have pockets for vibrators.
Yeah.
Use that. Most of them have either easy pussy play, so you can play with your own dildo, own vibrator, whatnot, yeah. or let him do it while you're pegging him. So that's sort of getting to that mindset that sex looks different
yeah.
depending on who you're doing it with. And while most people look at sex as penis and vagina, dildo and anus, that's still sex. We're having mm-hmm. sex. Mm-hmm. It's just not what,
yeah.
you know, I think the vast majority of folks would say sex is. So that would be my advice on that. And then finally, respect that when the guy comes, I'm one of those, when I come, I want everything out of my ass. I can't yeah. take that. It's way too overstimulation, almost to the point of pain. It doesn't hurt,
yeah.
but it's so it's uncomfortable. Too much, yeah. It's too much that I cannot handle it.
So when you're done, pull it out.
Yeah. yeah. So when I'm done, you know, listen to your partner. When yeah. he's done, when you're done or he's done, whatever, listen to him. Some mm-hmm. guys enjoy the thrusting afterwards. It feels good. Some guys don't. Just yeah. be sort of aware and know where your partner sits and or stands on that.
And I will say that, you know, you were talking about what the female using toys and things. And for me, it really turns me on to peg you. And so I get very wet and very drippy when we're playing. And so I do like to have, you know, if there's a little bit of the vibrations, you know, if we've got a vibrator in whatever strap-on, whatever harness I'm using or panties, I really like that. And so that helps a lot. But even so, if there's a third person that I can fuck when we're done with it, then that's great. If not, I will very often go to a dildo or a vibrator and use that myself because I am so wet afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like, I need something inside me. Mm-hmm. But again, that's, you know, personal preference and whatever yeah. works for you, and just have fun with it. Enjoy the situation and however that ends up looking.
I agree.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So let's move along to some of the myths. What do you have as things? So what we did basically was we sort of scoured the interwebs, everything from just Googling it to Reddit to see what myths were out there about, well, I'm going to say anal play, but pegging in specific, mm-hmm. Pegging in particular.
Can I have an orgasm from pegging?
Me or you?
You. It's from a guy's perspective. Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Absolutely. And I've had those orgasms, and they are long, rolling orgasms.
Like, how long would you say?
Anywhere from 2 to 3 minutes to 15 to 20 minutes. I know that Cooper S. Beckett talks about having an orgasm for, like, a couple of hours. Like jeez, later, he's wow. actually at a buffet getting food, and he's still occasionally shaking with these tremors, these orgasmic tremors. And that's, you know, it's one of those things. It's a weird feeling. And I have had those moments where after it's done, I have trouble standing.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I can stand, then I still have trouble putting together a sentence. So I don't think I've ever actually had an ejaculation orgasm from pegging. However, I definitely have had an ejaculation orgasm from being fucked by a guy. Mm-hmm. Which, let's be realistic, it's not a big difference between the two. I should say physically and man, you know.
As far as the prostate stimulation goes.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I know that it's possible for me mm-hmm. to do it. And that was one of those really surprising. It was like, holy shit. And he goes, what? I said, I'm going to come. He was like, really? Which I think it was just great. And I did. And it was like one of those, whoa, that's an amazing. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So, yes, you can orgasm. And yes, it's awesome.
Yes, to both. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
So the first one I had was, it's going to hurt a lot. And I would respond to that is, if that's the case, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You need more lube. You need more preparation. You need more relaxation.
Smaller dildo.
Yeah. You need to, yeah, there's, if it hurts, you're doing something wrong.
And if it truly, truly hurts, stop.
Yeah.
Don't keep going.
No, yeah, don't power through because and I've done that as well. I've powered through and then, you know, I'm sore for the next couple of days. You know, I've had bruising around the ass, around the anus, before due to really aggressive partners who were either drunk or didn't know what they were doing. And you know, it's not terrible, but it's not comfortable.
Don't do it.
Bruising around any orifice is not a pleasant thing. You just really want to make sure that you don't hurt yourself. So if it hurts, that's, again, your body's throwing up a red flag saying, hey, something's not right. Yeah. Let's fix it. There's plenty of times we've done it that it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about farting?
What about it? What do you think?
I think, sure, you might be embarrassed for a few seconds, but it happens. Everybody does it. You're putting something into the anus. You're changing the airflow there. If it goes in, it's got to come out.
Yeah.
So it happens. Who cares? You might be embarrassed momentarily. Laugh about it. Have a giggle if you want. Doesn't matter. But just keep going. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, farts happen. Shit happens. Just don't worry about it.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pushing something into your anus, and very likely air is going to go in with it.
Yeah.
And when air goes in with it, it wants to come back out.
It's got
to
come out. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not that. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Have a giggle if you need to. Move on.
Yeah.
It's not a focal point. Yeah.
It's a fuckle point.
Ha, 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 ha.
No? Okay.
No.
So the next one that I have that I found was the person actually doing the pegging doesn't receive pleasure.
Oh, no, that's bullshit.
I love it.
Took me a moment to process that one. I was like, wait, what? No, that's bullshit. Yeah.
So tell me, what kind of pleasure do you get?
We've touched on it in various forms before, but I would say it's a mental thing for me because I like having the control of the situation, the power. It's a bit of a role reversal and a different dynamic between us when I am pegging you. And, you know, even starting off, if you're controlling the position, that doesn't, you know, I still have control over myself and what's going in you. And so there's still that. It's just that whole role reversal gives me a bit of a rush. And it is knowing that I'm providing you with that kind of pleasure because I know what it feels like, you know, to be fucked with a penis. And I can only imagine that you get a similar type of pleasure from it when I'm fucking you with a dildo. And so I really, really like having something inside me. I imagine that you really like having something inside of you and just being able to give you that pleasure and that sensation and seeing how positively you do respond to it. And when you have the prostate orgasms and, you know, just how you respond to that, how your body responds to that, it really makes me feel good. It makes me happy. And I get all drippy and wet and really turned on and really horny and then take care of myself later.
I love it. That's great. Yeah, no, I think that seems accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. So then the next question that I've had about it is, again, we touched on this a bit. What if it just won't go in? again, you're doing something wrong. More lube, smaller dildo.
Yeah.
Relax a bit more. If it just isn't working, just stop.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, try again later. Try, you know, doesn't, you don't have to go full blown on your first attempt.
No. And, you know, the other thing to that is, you know, often what, for me personally, what I found is if I can't get a penis or a dildo in, it's because nothing else is happening. The only thing that's actually happening is the penetration.
Yeah.
So, you know, your body just, again, it's not something that typically things go into. So
yeah.
Your body clamps up because it's freaking out. But if you start giving me a blowjob, or if you start just, you know, sort of lightly manual stimulation, that I start to focusing on the cock play, and then my sphincter muscles relax.
Yeah. You need other foreplay, warm up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something that, and that's assuming again that you've done all the warm up,
mm-hmm.
that there is plenty of lube, that everything you're doing is right. And you just still can't get it in.
Yeah.
So what I would advise to that is start doing something else.
Yeah.
Playing with nipples, playing with earlobes, playing with cock. Just playing to help take the mind off of the fact that something's going in the anus.
Mm.
So the next one that I had was, if a girl likes pegging, it means she's a lesbian. Which, when I saw that, I had to giggle because
really?
That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I think that boils down to that heteronormativity, that if a woman feels like she wants or needs a penis, be it real or not, she must be a lesbian. And I really don't understand that, but that is definitely, definitely, definitely not the case.
All right. So the next myth that I have, or I guess it is more of a myth than a question, is that pegging is all about the power. How do you feel about that one?
You know, that's interesting because, you know, look, I understand where that comes from. You know, it is a change in the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
The woman will more likely have power, but not always. And the man will have less power, but again, not always. Look, I like the trait of power, but it really is not about power. That's not what it's about. I enjoy it primarily because I enjoy the prostate massage.
Mm-hmm.
I like that feeling. If power is what you want to trade, if that's something that you really like, the idea of you know, the man not being dominant, or the man being the receiver, the female being dominant or the giver, if that's what turns you on, then sure. But I don't think that's the same for everyone.
No.
In fact, I think there's a lot of people out there that they don't even notice the dominance change.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's part of the game.
Yeah.
For us, you being dominant, that's part of the scene.
Yeah.
But that's not why we do it.
Yeah. As I say, I do like the fact that I am a little more in control, that you are a little more vulnerable. I'm not sure that's the right word, but... so it is part of it for us. It isn't for a lot of people. It is a bit more about the prostate play and just a different form of play. It's almost like a different sex position, but just happens to be that I have a dildo on.
Yeah.
And it's going inside of you. So it's not always about the power. It is for some people, and depending on the scenario, that is a big part of it. But it doesn't have to be. You know, it can just be a different position, a different type of stimulation, different type of play, you know, just kind of changes the dynamics a little bit. And again, I get a lot of pleasure from seeing the different type of pleasure that it gives you compared to normal play.
Right.
And I would almost equate it to a female having a clitoral orgasm and a G-spot orgasm. You know, it's a different kind of orgasm and a different kind of pleasure. And why should you be denied one of those? You know, I don't want to be denied either of them.
Yeah.
Why should you?
No, I agree. I think it's a really good point.
You got any others?
Yeah, so the next one I have is one we touched on last week, which is if a guy likes being pegged, it means he's gay. Uh-huh. I know we already talked about it. We already said, and I'm going to reiterate if folks missed last week for some strange reason. Just because I love spaghetti and lasagna does not make me Italian.
Yeah.
That's the two things are not related. But what that means is, if you like being pegged or you're interested in pegging, you're an open-minded person that's up to trying new things, and you really enjoy great orgasms. Because I promise you that it is an amazing orgasm that you have when being pegged.
Awesome. I don't have any others. Do you?
Yeah, I had a couple others here that I found.
You've got everything.
You've
got it all.
I just have to find my list that I found. There it is. One of the other ones that I had stumbled across was that strap-on sex and pegging is just a trendy new fashion created by sex toy vendors.
Wow.
I know,
okay.
Right? I saw that and I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Okay.
And that's dumb as hell.
But pegging's been around a lot longer than sex toy vendors have.
A lot longer. Again, I think the Marquis de Sade talked about it in 1795. That's... Mm.
What did they use for dildos back then? Do you know?
I have no idea. I would guess that they were either ceramic.
Uh-huh.
Or wood, glass, possibly metal. That's what I would say. Because I don't know, did they have rubbers in... rubbers, not like condoms, but like types of rubber, like silicone and shit.
I know they didn't have
silicone. I'm confident. I don't know.
So just a very quick Google search. Apparently...
Bless you, Google.
A 250-year-old... I don't know how true this is, because again, it was, just looking it up here very quickly.
Because the internet.
So a 250-year-old sex toy was found by archaeologists in Poland. It's an 8-inch leather dildo with a wooden head.
There you go. That sounds great. Sounds like a Thursday night.
So we'll have to see what else we can find. But yeah, it looks like wooden dildos from the 18th century. There's apparently a long, strange history of sex toys. We should probably look that up.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it does. Wow, this is really long, so we'll have to save that for another time. I was just curious. I was like, it just kind of hit me that if pegging's been around that long, what did they use? But that makes sense.
The other one that I had was strap-on wear receives no pleasure, which we've already talked about that.
Mm-hmm. That's bullshit.
And then strap-ons are only used by lesbians and sadistic mistresses.
So which one am I?
I know, right? I mean, you're at times sadistic, at times a mistress, at times lesbianish.
Yeah, but I'm not really
bisexual.
But I'm not really any of those.
But you're none of those.
No.
Which is shit like this kills me. Only sub men and dom women enjoy pegging.
We know that's not true.
Yeah, that's one that that kills me because we've met a number of very strong, manly,
very dominant
men that enjoy pegging.
Yeah.
And that's
again. I think it goes back to just. Besides the whole scenario and the scene and the play of it, when it does come down to the prostate orgasm, it's just a different orgasm, and you get a lot of you get at least some health benefits from it. And why should you be denied that just because some people are squicky about it?
Yeah, it always cracks me up. It's just that ignorance about we don't like what we don't understand, and that's what it ends up.
And if you haven't tried it, try it. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that all we have to say about pegging,
do you have
any more?
I was going to say, I'm basically all out. Do you have any final comments on or advice on how to make the pegging experience?
We can just do a kind of real quick recap, just kind of touching on some of the major points. And, going back to talking about it with your partner, making sure you're both comfortable with the idea that you're on the same page as to how you want to go about it, what you want to get out of it. And then when you do decide to do it, kind of set the scene, have a bit of that relaxing evening, like you said before, maybe have a bubble bath and just take the time to relax, have some massage time, you know, build up the blood supply in the legs and the anus and, you know, do some external play and get that kind of warmed up and ready to go, you know, get your anus ready to accept something inside of it. Do finger play. That's a good, easy way to kind of ease into it. Use gloves. Put a condom on your finger if you want to. And if you're going to use gloves, we like to use nitrile ones. If you're using latex, check with your partner. They don't have any latex allergies. Find a good snug strap-on a harness or panties that is comfortable for you, that you like to wear, if you feel sexy in it, it's steady, you know, you've got good control over the dildo, because the last thing you want is a little wobbly dildo going everywhere that you have no control over.
Indeed.
That's the last thing he wants to. Start with a small dildo, build up, you know, don't be scared to, don't worry about size, don't be a size queen, you know, just go small.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of lube. Lots and lots and lots of lube. If you think you have enough, add more. We like to use condoms on the dildos for easy cleanup because we're lazy. And again, and if you are in a group situation where you're switching between partners, it makes that easy as well. Yeah. So condoms are a great, easy way to do that. And we've talked about just starting slow, not forcing the dildo in. Being in a good position, whatever that is for the guy, whatever makes him comfortable and makes you comfortable as the female.
Keep a constant line of communication.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the dildo, and this, I think this should go without saying, but the dildo's non-feeling. So yeah. The woman can't tell, or the whoever's driving the dildo can't tell what it feels like for it. So you've got to, as the recipient, you've got to be very verbal about, you know, left, right, up, down, slower, faster, whatever. Keep that communication line going.
And also when you do get to, you know, once the dildo is in and you do start kind of getting the rhythm and moving it in and out, start with kind of slow, easy motions. You know, you don't have to go like, you know, all the way out, all the way in.
Yeah.
Like just kind of start with a slow, easy, rhythmic, not a lot of distance kind of thing. And then if he wants more, again, keep that line of communication open and talk about it. And if he wants more movement, then add it. But you know, don't, it's not like you have to have like the big, huge pounding motion kind of thing right off the bat.
Indeed.
And yeah, don't forget about the other sensory parts, you know, whether it be nipple play, whether it be ball play, you know, ears, hips, backs, nails, you know, whatever it is.
Verbal.
Just, yeah, verbal. Yeah. Don't forget the other senses and the rest of the body needs to be stimulated as well. And that'll help make the anal play easier and help him relax a bit as well. Because it gets your mind off of it and you're not, that's not the only thing you're focused on and thinking about.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
It should be fun. It should feel good. And yeah, I think that.
And you may not get it 100% right the first time.
Yeah.
That's okay. And don't take it seriously. Just, like you said, have fun with it.
Have a
giggle about it. If you try something and it fails miserably, have a laugh about it. And then do something different.
That's right. You care about your partner. You want both of your people, you know, both of you want the other to feel good. This isn't, you know, it's not about shaming. So there's nothing wrong with it. And it's fucking awesome to do.
Yeah, it is. You want to go give it a go?
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah, let's wrap this mother up so that we may.
It might be a short one, guys. Sorry, we're gonna go have some fun.
Yeah, brown chicken, brown cow.
Yeah.
So send us your questions, comments, and rude remarks to theatomsoflove@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at By the By Podcast. Also on Twitter at By the By Podcast and Instagram. I should just say, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We are all By the By Podcast. And I guess we'll see you guys after Christmas.
After Christmas.
So by the time you all hear us next, we've got a good one coming up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we do. Woohoo! So excited for this one.
Yeah, we've got another event, another podcast event.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's gonna be the last podcast of the year or the first podcast of next year.
We'll have to see.
But it is going to be a podcast.
I'm
going
to go with the first one of the new year because it'll be a great way to ring in the year.
It will be. We've got some special guests.
It's going to be a group event.
Yeah. There's going to be...
It's a podcast orgy.
It is going to be a podcast orgy.
Yes.
We have a new couple that have never been on the podcast.
Uh-huh. So you'll have some new voices.
We have, of course, our wonderful friends Lawrence and Jess from Our Secret Spot. And Lolo Lady and the Ginger Tramp. We're all going to be podcasting together, and we're going to be playing a game.
Yes. So it's going to be a nice podcast.
Should we talk about the game and see if anybody wants to throw in their suggestions?
No.
Okay.
No. Oh,
wow.
We all have to bring our own.
All right.
That was the rules.
All right. There you go. Well, there you go, audience. You don't get an option. You're just going to have to sit there and take it.
Yeah. And if you like it, then, well, that doesn't mean we can't do it again with audience input.
Oh, fair enough.
But this first time, we already laid out the rules. So
fair enough. That's right. Yeah. So we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.